I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. We've been talking a lot about the suspected murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi and how concerns over the role Saudi Arabia's rulers may have played in that murder is straining relations with the U.S., both politically and financially. Now let's talk about the first thing many people think of when Saudi Arabia is mentioned, oil. And yes, oil has been a key part of the U.S.-Saudi relationship for decades. Over the weekend, in an op-ed in a Saudi-owned news channel, it said if the U.S. imposes sanctions on Saudi Arabia, it would, quote, stab its own economy to death. So what's the reality when it comes to the U.S. and Saudi oil? For that, we turn to Jeff Colgan at Brown University. Starting point, the price of oil right now.
Well, it's trading roughly $72 a barrel these days. It could rise. It's going to depend on some things that are like fundamentals, you know, how much oil is being supplied to the market or not. But the claim in the op-ed is wrong, actually. The United States is not vulnerable. Its economy is not seriously vulnerable to Saudi oil moves. The United States produces more than half of the oil it consumes these days. And of the oil that it imports, only 10% of that comes from Saudi Arabia directly.
Wow, just 10%.
Just 10%. So Canada is our number one supplier and is a far more important player. And while Saudi Arabia is significant for global oil prices, which affect the United States economy, it's not the case that the United States is vulnerable to it. And so these kinds of threats from Saudi Arabia are not terribly credible and can largely be disregarded.
I'm just curious, where does Saudi rank globally in terms of oil exports these days?
The threat that the Saudis are making is that they can cause havoc in global oil prices, raising the price of oil overall, which would in turn affect the price of U.S. oil. And that would, you know, increase gasoline prices at the pump, et cetera. And so that's the threat they're making. But it's just not terribly credible because to do that, they need to cut their own production. And that's going to hurt them financially. So to raise the price up, they have to cut their own. And so they might be able to kind of net out in the short term without losing too much money. But they're going to lose politically and they're going to lose their reputation as a reliable supplier of oil.
So let me just pursue two scenarios with the U.S. living without Saudi oil proposal. That 10%, the U.S. would go where to kind of shore that up? Canada?
The U.S. imports from a huge number of countries, and so it could import more from Canada. It could import from Mexico or from Norway or from other Middle Eastern countries. The global oil market is actually very fungible. Think of it as sort of a bathtub with lots of oil pouring in from different ways, and it all becomes kind of one big pool, and then buyers go to spot markets to select their oil off of that. And so losing Saudi Arabia oil for the United States would really not be such a big problem because there's always another buyer available.
And if the U.S. were to say we can live without Saudi oil and Washington cuts way back its ties with Riyadh, what would that do to security in the region? Because Washington depends on Saudi for some measure of regional stability, right?
Yes. And here's where I think that the United States needs to walk a fine line, because we don't want to go too far with this. I think the U.S.-Saudi relationship has been one historically that has tamped down interstate conflict in the region. It's a very volatile region, so of course it doesn't look so good, but there's nonetheless an effort by U.S. and Saudi Arabia to reduce conflict. But lately, and this is under the new crown prince, new as of a couple of years ago in Saudi Arabia, the Saudis have been much more belligerent, causing all kinds of trouble in the region, including this sort of humanitarian disaster in Yemen, but also hostility with neighboring Qatar and ramping up hostilities with those neighboring countries. And so traditionally, United States administrations have talked to Saudi Arabia and said, listen, we don't want that kind of instability. Stop doing that. But the Trump administration has given them a much freer rein, and that's caused some real problems.
Do you think that the war in Yemen is in some ways maintaining the relationship between U.S. and Saudi Arabia and that there are arms deals in there that Washington likes?
Well, I think, look, defense contractors like selling to Saudi Arabia. They're a big purchaser of weapons. There's no question about that. But I wouldn't want to draw too clear a line about that. The relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia has always principally been about oil. And the U.S. has looked for cooperation from the Saudis on the oil market. And what's changing now is that the U.S. has a lot more ability to say, listen, Saudi Arabia, you need to respect what we're saying to you and to work towards peace and stability in the region, or we will cut you loose. And we can do that because you're actually not able to leverage against us in the oil market nearly as much as you might have been in the past.
Jeff Colgan is the author of Petroaggression: When Oil Causes War. He's also a professor at Brown. Thanks very much for being with us, Jeff.
Thanks, Marco.